Well, good morning, everyone. How you feel? Feel pretty good? I asked one gentleman at the table if he had his coffee yet, and he said he didn't believe in it. So, I still believe in it, and kind of need it. John Stickle here had to go out and get himself an extra shot here just to wake up his liver this morning. Well, thank all of you for coming. I know it's a lot of effort to get up early on a Saturday morning to sit down to what are going to be very involved, but I hope dynamic lectures today. And we've got people that are here from around the country. How many folks from the East Coast do we have? Well, look at that. Real travelers. How about from the Midwest? Okay, how about from the South, you old boys? Yeah, a few of those. And how about from the enlightened West? Yeah. Okay, yeah, there are quite a few of us out here. Well, I know you've come at your own expense and put effort into it, and I do appreciate it. And I think we're here for a grand and noble purpose. And I can't think of any more noble purpose than learn about our great God and why He is the great God that we love and worship, and to learn about His Son. His unique Son, who is right now at His right hand. And I would expect they are pleased with what we're doing, because we're assembled here today to learn more about Him, so we can become like Him and glorify Him and pray to Him more intimately and walk more closely. These are reasons why we want to draw near our God. So I want to thank all of you for coming. And I hope the event is going to be profitable for you. May have some stragglers coming in. And Dixon, send them up to the front row here. So we it's a penalty for coming late. We can look you in the eyeball. So, well, before we begin, we're going to ask God's blessing on our proceedings today. And Owen, would you mind coming up here and leading us in prayer.
Almighty God, creator of the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all the nations, we come before you as a group of people, seeking, inquiring, wanting, thirsty for the knowledge of who you are, how you are, and what you are. We ask your blessing on this assembly, the meetings, both days. We thank you from our hearts.
Amen. Well, you all have a copy of our little program here. Pages 6 and 7, I think, are the ones for the agenda. And you'll see we have a mid-morning break. So if you can wait until that break, we'll have it. And then we have a lunch break. The several nearby restaurants that I could recommend to you within walking distance, if you feel you need to go get a restaurant. Don't eat too much, because you're all invited over to our home tonight for dinner. And I'll give you a little plug here in the menu. We're going to be having a nice prime rib roast. And then Joanne's made some homemade lasagna right from scratch, all the good stuff in it. And then my son-in-law just caught some nice silver salmon. And he has smoked them, and they'll be hot, smoked, and ready for us, and plus vegetables and beer and wine and soda pop and water, whatever else you need. So it'll be a chance for us to relax the jawbone, bull session, talk, all those fun things, and eat. So that'll be this evening, and we have directions on how to get there just one exit away. So if you do end up skipping lunch, why, you will get a meal for sure later on. Drawing your attention to our booklet here. We have as our logo scripture a passage from Jeremiah that some of you are familiar with, but it's basically what we think everything is pretty well about, the reason we do these things, is to learn more about God and Jeremiah. You find it there on page 2 or My program is not put together properly. Yeah. Yeah, grab me one of those other programs, would you, back there, Catherine? Page four. I'd like to read it. Read along with me. No, you keep that. I'll keep that here. And this is what Yahweh says: Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. Normal things that human beings puff themselves up about, right? This covers the water. Covers everything. Covers all the big shots in the news, sport page, everything else. It's in one of these areas. But let him who boasts boast about this. And no Nobel Prizes are offered for this, but this should be a category. That he understands and knows me. Now that says an awful lot, doesn't it? To understand and know. That I am Yahweh who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares Yahweh. So with that in mind, as one of our purposes is to come to know God and what is great about Him and why He is worthy of our love, I have a little mantra I say to myself. To know God, to really know Him, is to love Him. It's the inescapable result of coming to know God, of actually falling in love with His kindness, with His righteousness, with His justice. And then you want to become like Him. To know Him is to love Him, and to love Him is to want to become like Him in mind and character and in action, and to eventually follow His Son right into the very presence of the Mighty One Himself. And it's for these reasons we gather together. I've included in these One God seminars, and this is our ninth annual one. Our tenth is going to be in the spring, probably in May, in Southern California. So if you have friends down there who would like to attend that, that would be great. That'll be in 2011. But we've tried to include other aspects of God, not just, you know, the oneness, the biblical monotheism or biblical Unitarianism of Scripture, but two other aspects I will briefly draw your attention to, and in the reading material we include some of that. And one has to do with the openness of God. Are you familiar with open theism? Because this basically tells you a lot about how God works and how He deals with us. It answers the second of the big questions in life, who am I? How I relate to God. Now, it's contra Calvin and predestination and determinism and the rest, but it shows the flexibility of God wanting to work in communion with His creation. It's a partnership that He has with man. And He does listen to us. The whole purpose of prayer is to affect, in some ways, the mind of God. And so everything isn't all set. The future's not all set. Partly set, partly open. God knows what He's ultimately going to accomplish through it all, but it's very much dependent upon us and what we do. And so our lives do count. How we think counts. The relationship we have with God counts. And it can be moved. He's not the unmoved mover of the philosophers, but He is rather the moved, loving, kind God of Scripture who can change His mind and has many times, and thankfully so. So the openness of God very much describes this great God that we serve and one of the reasons why we love Him. And then intelligent design, which is a brand new field of scientific inquiry that has evolution on the run. It really does, because it is showing the irreducible complexity of every part of the plant and animal and cosmic world that didn't come along by accident, but was designed by a designer. Now, you can, of course, figure out who that might be, but intelligent design does direct us to the brilliance and the intelligence of God. And it's like with the, you're familiar with the code of the genetic code that has been worked out for the human genome. One of the biggest scientific projects ever in the history of the world was the mapping out of the human genome. It took some 20 years and hundreds of scientists around the world. But what they found is basically just information, you know, coded and buried in every tiny little cell we've got. And it can produce, you know, the human being that we are. And it's just information, a tremendous amount of information, but that's what it is. Where did that information come from? It's an intelligent design. And every area of science, the more they get into it, the more they see the brilliance. And so I think that's part of the way in which we worship our uncreated God as the Creator. And intelligent design, the openness of God, the oneness of God, put together a composite picture of a God worthy of our worship and our adoration. Now, not all of us see things the same way. That's an understatement, isn't it? We all come at things differently over the years. It took me many years to come to some of the conclusions I've come to. And I look back at what I believed when I was a young minister some 50 years ago. Can you believe it? And I look back and say, well, boy, I didn't know diddly then. You know, I didn't really know much at all. And look back 20, 30 years ago and say, I was really dumb then. I was giving people advice. And so we're learning, you know, all the time. And I find myself learning. I'm almost embarrassed that I'm a little kid now. All of a sudden excited about learning and about Scripture and about discovery. You don't know everything. And it's... That doesn't make you feel bad. It makes you feel kind of good because you have all this out there that you do want to learn. And when you discover something, it's truly exciting. So rather than kind of sitting back and waiting out my days thinking I've got all the doctrines kind of figured out, I've got my little creedal book up here, it's been a real challenge. And part of the reason for it has been the discovery of the true nature of God and of Christ. And that's made a big difference in my life. I think it can make a difference in everyone's life and put some real excitement and passion into living and studying. Is there anything more important than knowing about God? Isn't that the zenith, the apex, the pinnacle of all knowledge? I know a lot of people get really cranked up about knowing things. You know, knowing about what latest outfit Lady Gaga's wearing, you know, I hear now she's hanging raw meat on her body as her dress code now. And we look at other facts and we study into it and people get excited about it. But actually knowing God, how He thinks, a goal of mine is to learn to think about God just as Jesus thought about God. How did He think about Him? How did He relate to Him? What was His concept of God? Well, He said that He and His Father were one. He did all things to please His Father. And we see His conversations, some of them recorded there in the Gospels, show almost a compatibility there and a resonance of a minds working together that is quite fantastic. I would love to have that kind of relationship, the relationship Jesus had to His Heavenly Father, the absolute confidence that He had, and to hear words coming from the Father, the most cherished words you could want, words that identify you. You are my daughter. You are my son, whom I love. Remember when those words came at the Transfiguration, at the baptism? You, who are you? Well, you're my son. You're my daughter. And how do I feel about you? I love you. And how does that make me feel? I'm well pleased. Could you want to hear any better words coming from God? Well, I should think not. And then, of course, he said to the listeners round about, listen to him, hear him. He's got something for you. He's going to teach you. And Jesus' prayer was that his disciples would become one with the Father as he was one. So I want to learn to think about God as Jesus thought about God. And we've got a lot of material that'll tell us how he thought about God. And that is exciting, and that is good. So the knowledge of God is wide, it's deep. We can't fathom it entirely, can we? We can't answer all the questions, but we can devote ourselves to it. And it's that devotion to it, I think, is the exciting journey. It's quite a ride. And you know, when it comes down to it, all of us have to make some sort of a understanding to ourselves satisfactorily of what is life about, what's our purpose, and what happens when we croak. I know Clint Eastwood's come out with a new movie. You know, when guys get old, they start making movies like this, entitled, what is it, Hereafter, was that it? Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah, what is the hereafter? I don't think he's got all the answers about the hereafter, but, you know, if there is such a thing as eternity, and God is eternal, and his goal is to bring us into his presence, first place, you'll want to be in his presence, so you want to know him. And if you're going to be in this presence for eternity, you know, you better have a relationship with him right now. And that's something we all deal with, isn't it? So I don't care what element of life, whether young or old or anything else, it should be the burning desire within each of us to come to know who we are. You know, big questions, who is God, who am I, how then shall I live? Those are the questions that are all kind of subsumed into the topic of the one God, the one great God. So we'll be touching on that. We've got some very able guys speaking to you on page 6 and 7. I'll just note a few of the speakers. Coming up first will be Sean Finnegan, and this is Sean over here, this young, good-looking guy. He came all the way from Rhode Island. He's attending Boston University in a biblical studies program, and he'll be speaking to us on something really exciting. It almost sounds like a mechanical engineering, eternal generation. Is that something like spontaneous combustion or some... from Origin of Alexander, and if you think that is not interesting, you're wrong. It is interesting, and Sean's going to explain why it is and why it's relevant to it. And then Kermit Zarley will be speaking to us on Does the Bible Say Jesus is God? And Kermit has some of his books in the back, and that's him in the back of the room there. Looking forward to him, and I'll be introducing him in a little bit. And then Owen Murphy, the man who led us in prayer, is a Canadian. But we do allow a few Canadians in here. We do have a token, affirmative action program, allow a few of them in here. And he's from British Columbia. And he'll be giving a short talk on Yahweh only shall you serve. And then Mark Bosserman from Minnesota and North Dakota areas will be speaking on Trinity, the three words. And then we'll be, in the afternoon, number 5, will be Noel Rood speaking on the positive argument. Noel is an expert in linguistics, works with Indians reconstructing lost Indian languages, developing grammars and dictionaries and the rest. Taught linguistics at the university level at the University of Oregon. Very, very bright guy. And then, let's see, we don't have Lindsay, his wife here yet, but they'll be here. Lindsay and his wife, Emily, will be speaking on two Pauline passages. She's PhD. He's got a master's from Fuller Theological Seminary. Fine couple. And then tomorrow we're going to be hearing from Gary Woodring, who's come all the way from Tyler, Texas. We've got some seats up front here, folks. You can really hear good up here. And then Bob Woodburn from Houston, Texas, is going to be speaking on why Logos or Logos. He speaks on that every year. It's the same subject he speaks on every year, right, Bob? The variations of it. Sean was making a smart remark in the car up here. He said, "What's Bob speaking?" I said, "Logos." And he said, "Well, hasn't he spoken on that every time so far?" I said, "Well, maybe so, but he's good at it, and he likes it." And it is a big subject. And then Kermit is going to be speaking on what must we do to be saved. And then another Canadian's coming up toward the end here to wake us up, and that's going to be Michel Denis, and that's how they'd say it in French, and he is French, and we do allow some of them to attend here too. And he's here with his dear wife, Jane, all the way from Quebec, near Montreal, and he'll be speaking to us in French, and his wife will translate. Isn't that the deal? So two for one deal. But English is the second language, but he's got a lot of passion here. He's going to challenge us, see whether or not you take his challenge and you believe him. I'm looking forward to his ultimate mission. And then Sean Fendigan's going to follow up on the top reasons why I'm not a Trinitarian. How many are there, by the way?
Five.
Okay, all right. Is this the top five or just the...
Just the top
five. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And then we'll have comments, questions, and discussion. So after each of the seminars, we've asked the presenters to give some space for questions, challenges, comments, whatever. You're certainly welcome to contribute. But try to stay with the subject he presented. And then at the end, we'll have an open session where comments, questions, challenges can be presented. And that'll be tomorrow afternoon. We've saved over an hour just for that. So those are the main review of what we've got coming to us here. Any comments or questions we have? Yes, John? Yeah, good questions. We're taping it. And by the way, this is going out live over our telephone conferencing network. So we've got a lot of people tuning in from perhaps around the world listening over my iPhone right here, as we're plugged into a network. People can tune in anywhere. And also, I'm recording it, and Pat Brady, who has been a big help here with the audio, and you got a little camera here too, right? Okay, so it's both going to be videoed and recorded, and most of the presenters will have hard copies. Some may hold the hard copies until after they've presented, so you don't, you know, get ahead of them and cross your eyes and stuff and don't listen. So, yeah, and some may hand out earlier. And then we do have a literature table back there with books. Some are free. And then Dixon Cartwright. Dixon, wave your hand there. He's in the back of the room. He's the editor of the journal, The News of the Churches of God. He's got an extra older copy of one of the journals back there. It's a sample copy. Take it. He chose one that had an article of mine in it. You didn't do that deliberately, did you? Yeah, all right. So anyway, help yourself to the literature table and pick up things. We do have a donation box. You probably noticed that as well. We didn't decide not to put a fee, a registration fee on attending. Scares away some people, perhaps. But we wanted to make it free to whoever wanted to come, and then we just asked for donations. to help us, you know, cover the expense of the room and some of the other related expenses to the seminar, and hopefully encourage us to keep this going so we don't get in too much debt each time we do one of these things. So your generosity would be appreciated. Any other questions before we begin our seminar program? Pat, well, tell us what you've got planned with the videos.
What I'm planning on is sending individual discs of each of the seminars and so on to Ken. And then do what he may, whatever you like.
We'll make them available. They will be done subsequent to our seminar, but... And likewise with the CDs, so you'll be able to get either DVD or CD. And they'll be separate, I think, to the presentations, or key to the presentations.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that'll be available, but that'll be afterwards. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, good. I think we do need to begin then with our first to stay on time. And we'll try to stay as much as we can on time. I don't have the grand old hook to pull them off, but we do give the high sign, you know, to tell them to, you know, cut it off if it goes a little too long. But our first presenter, Sean Finnegan, some of you have known from the past. His wife Ruth would like to be here with us. He has two cute little boys, and Noah and Daniel, is it? Yeah. And so she was going to come, had some other conflicts, but maybe we'll get him next time. And he's taken out from his studies at Boston University to come here. He has a degree in engineering, computer engineering, and went down to Atlanta Bible College and did the courses and graduated from their program. And now he's in a master's program at Boston University. On scholarship, as I understand it. So that's pretty cool. And Sean has been associate pastor with his father at the Living Hope Church up in Albany, New York, and has a long history of ministry. His father's been very active in church groups overall, and years ago in the Way organization from times past. So he's got a long history and has been a strong advocate of the One God position, and hosts a few websites and is actively engaged in debating people and also in blogging on various subjects. So I list some of the websites here. I did skip a couple, and I'll try to add that before we leave here of websites that you'll need to. And if you want to plug any of yours, Sean, feel free to do that. So for our first presentation today, it's The Eternal Generation in Origen of Alexandria. Sean Finnegan.